missed our service last week, you can catch it online on our YouTube page. It was just a blast to sit over here with Liz and watch those kids, man. And I'm going to tell you, that was not scripted at all, okay? So those of you who thought, man, those kids were good actors, and that was nothing scripted about that, was it, Phil? I mean, it was so much fun to watch, and they just engaged with him. And none of us will ever forget the illustration. And so, guys, come on, let's just give it up for our kids' ministry. We love it. If you're sitting in here this morning and your children are back there somewhere being tamed and taught Jesus and all those things, be sure you say nice things about them. And one more thing, I just thought about this. Every door in our kids' ministry now is what they call it, Dutch doors. Is that right? They have Dutch doors on them. Gary and Therese came over this week and installed those this week, painted them, fixed them. And just so kudos to Gary and Therese for doing that. And it's just wonderful. That adds a measure of security for your children. And that's, we're so appreciative of that. So important to us. Y'all ready for some word? All right, let's get into some word. When you came in, you should have been handed by our hospitality team a worship guide with some notes inside of it. If you didn't get one of those, you can actually go to our website at discoveryal.church on your phone, smartphone, and do your notes there as well. Electronically. Can I just get a survey real quick? How many of you are doing electronic notes now that do notes? Okay. How many of you still doing paper notes? Okay. See, it's worth it. All right. I'm just saying. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on as well in the message. Today is called The Harvest is Great. It's a standalone message. That means we're not in a series right now is all that means. We start a series next week that will lead us up to Christmas. We're gonna observe kind of a sort of an Advent kind of sort of. And so we're going to be walking through the Sundays prior to Jesus' birthday, as we call it in our culture. So come and be a part of that. If that wigs you out, don't let it, okay? Just stop letting stuff wig you out. Every time I announce something like that, I think somebody's going to be like, would they do Advent there? Are they Catholic? What are they? We never did that in our church or whatever. Hey, just come with us and you'll do lots of things you didn't do in your church. I'm just saying. And we mean that sincerely. One of our mottos around here is everything's an experiment. So we just do things for a while. The only thing we don't experiment with is Jesus Lord. Because Jesus is, that's not an experiment. That is true. All right. So we're going to stick with the word on things, but we just love to do things and catch people off guard. I can't wait on Christmas, man. It's going to be, Mike has got some surprises for y'all. It's going to be so much fun. All right. From the outset of being a partner, by the way, if you're new with us today, we say partner instead of member because we believe that members feel like when you get to be a member of something, you pay your dues and you get the benefits of the club, right? That's a membership. A partnership is where you say, I want to partner with you, and I want to invest myself, my time, my money, my energies, my talents, all the things that God has given me, I want to invest in that. And for the very first moment, some of you, first time in here today, you're hearing it already, and that is we want you to make an impact on the world. And we don't mean, in fact, the vehicle we use to carry that along is called Impact. We want you to go through Impact. It's just a three-step process, first, second, third Sunday of each month. And just walk you through this process where you can learn how you can make a better impact. And we're continually trying to vamp and revamp that to make that even better. And so, you see, here's the thing. We see the fruit of what God's doing. This room right now is so much more full than it used to be because of the fruit of what God's doing. All we are his instruments. I see a radiologist this Tuesday, and one of the things I saw, when I saw him, he said to me, he said, I'm just an instrument. He said, I don't do any healing. I help people, and I do what I can with the talents God has given me, but he said, I'm an instrument for God to help you be healed. And everybody wants a doctor with that attitude, right? Right? And so I love this guy. His name is Bourgeois, too, by the way. It's a cool name. He's as American as you and I, but his name's Bourgeois. He even introduced himself. Hi, I'm Austin. So I'm sure with that name, he gets a lot of like, oh, we miss you. Anyway, so anyway, we see her and he sees himself as an instrument. That's what these are. They're instruments. We're instruments to help lead. They're instruments to run. You're instruments to do what God has you to do. And the fruit of the labor that we get to see is the harvest. And that's what this message is really about. So in John chapter 4, you read the story about Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman. And I can't go into all the history of this. I wish I could. I could preach a series on the first part of this. But just to tell you the story, she's coming to get water. Jesus is sitting by Jacob's well. And she's coming to the well in the middle of the day for a reason, probably because of her reputation. We don't really know exactly why. But just from the story, you have to get a little indication here and there that she had to be there not at the cool of the day when the rest of the women came because she couldn't with them. And so she comes, and Jesus is sitting there, and he says, would you give me a drink? And she said, what? you're a Jewish rabbi. You're a Jewish rabbi. Why are you asking me for a drink? Why would you do that? Jews don't talk to women, especially Samaritan women. Jesus said, well, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd ask him, he'd give you living water. And of course, she said, give me some of that. He said, I will. Just go get your husband first. And she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, no, you don't have a husband. You've had five, and the man you're with is not your husband. And she realized in that moment something different about this Jewish rabbi. He knows the things about my life that I don't want anybody to know. And he's here talking to me anyway. We forget that caveat of the story about Jesus. He's not just talking to a woman. He's there to save her soul. He's there to be her salvation. And she didn't know it just yet. So she turns it into a religious conversation. Well, you Jews say over in Jerusalem you worship. And we Samaritans say you worship on this mountain. Which one is it? And Jesus said, well, it's neither here nor there. It's not in this mountain or that mountain. There's a time coming, he said, and now is, when you worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And you could almost see your eyes light up. Really? It's not about places. That means people won't be able to see me the same way, and it's not about walls and things like that. So she begins to perk up. And he tells her that if you just ask, first of all, she says, well, when the Messiah comes, he's going to figure all this out. And that's Jesus' opening. And for the first time that we know of in the reading of the Gospels, he reveals his being the Messiah. Who did he reveal it to? To a Samaritan woman. To a Jew would have been the dregs of society. They were considered, just to put it bluntly, they were considered half-breeds. And they were considered not fully Jewish and not fully Gentile, but just kind of a mix of the two. And the Jews hated them. In fact, they would go all the way around Samaria just to keep from walking through the place. And Jesus is telling her, you have met Mashiach. Yamashiach. I get chills thinking about it. If the first time you met Jesus, you went, oh my goodness, it's Jesus. I mean, really met him. Not through religion, like she was trying to do. Really met who he was. That's the feeling you have. And usually we stop here in this story, and we talk about all those things. I've talked about some of them, but I want to move on because there's something I saw in this story. I won't say I've never seen it before, but it was something that just caught me differently this time. And it fits right into what I've been trying and wanted to try to say to you guys today as our church and those of you who are new here. We stop there, and we talk about all the racial divide and all those things, but The story goes on. She drops her water pot, by the way, or water pots, whatever she had, and she runs back into the city saying, come and see a man who told me everything I did. We'll read that text later, but she says, come and see. She told all these people what had happened to her. So here's where the scripture picks up from there. This is John chapter 4, verse 30. If you're in your own Bible, if you're in your notes, it should be there. So the people came streaming from the village to see him. So think about this. The well is on the outskirts of town, and you see this little village. And I don't know how many people there were. Even if it was 50 or 100, it's still a lot of folks coming toward them. Well, the disciples come back meanwhile. They're back, and they're asking Jesus, Lord, you need to eat something. They said, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Don't you want some of that food? Or when people even offer you something to eat, you go, man, I'm just so full. He said, I have a different kind of food. Did someone bring him food? They said, while we were gone, the disciples asked each other, and Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. And you know the saying, he said, that's another whole sermon there, about one little verse right there. It's crazy. And then he says, but you've heard this saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. This was probably a saying of the day that people said to indicate, hey, we got time. We're planting. We got some time to get there, right? It's 4 months till harvest. We're good. And Jesus said, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are, everybody say, already ripe. Already ripe. He said, they're already ripe for harvest. Can you imagine this throng of people coming out and Jesus talking to them and saying, look, the harvest is ripe. And they're going, but those are Samaritans, Lord. You're not asking surely to do, the fields are white already. The harvesters, he says, are paid good wages, and the fruit of the harvest is people brought to eternal life. Bring that up again later in the message. But wait What joy awaits both planter and harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants, another harvests, and it's true. And I sent you to the harvest where you didn't plant, and others already had done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. What you experienced this morning in worship is exactly that. You didn't do anything probably to get us where we are, and we won't do anything probably to get us where you're going to take us, but it's not about us. It's what God's doing in us, right? And you know people in your life. They're not where they were because you came into their life, because you're not any longer where you were. Oh, come on, man. We're just not there anymore. Oh, so many things I want to say right there. I just don't have time for it. So here's the thing. Point number one today is, let's don't lose sight of the harvest. Don't lose sight of the harvest, especially when it's right there in front of us. This is what gave Jesus the most fulfillment, is those people coming toward him. Not for the fame. Jesus was famous, but not for the fame. He didn't have anything that fame brings. He had nothing, really, of the world's goods. But he wanted those people to come to be woken, awakened, whatever the word is. Wake up, he said, and look around. Jesus loved seeing people get it and come to him. And you will, too, if you ever experience it. If you've not experienced yet bringing someone to the Lord and them, however they learn it, get it away from about you and me. I used to think, well, I won't say the right things, or I won't do the right things, or I won't know how to do it if they come to me and I try to tell them about Jesus. Y'all, just tell them your story. Tell them what he's done for you. We're going to get there. Just tell them. When you tell them the story, they're going to get it. They're going to get it. And if you've not experienced that, I'm going to just tell you from experience, there is no greater thing in the world than seeing people accomplish what Jesus accomplished what he does through people in this world. Did I say that right? Let me say it again. No greater feeling in the world than the accomplishment of seeing what Jesus does through people. And when I'm the people, it's a lot of fun. And it's really most as fun when it's a surprise. Like, I was talking to this guy over here, but this guy over here came to Jesus. Wow, that's happened to me before, literally. It's so much fun to watch that kind of thing happen. And in their concern, the disciples' concern for something good, that is Jesus being hungry, they miss the point. They miss the streaming of people. And I think we do the same thing. And when you see the harvest right in front of you, here's what you do. You want to make it simple? Just give away that which you have. Just give away what you have. I know. Our culture says get and receive and get. I want more and so on. We can't get enough in our world. We're so consumer-based, we can't even come to church without thinking we're going to get something out of it. Well, I didn't get nothing out of that sermon today. It didn't speak to me. Wasn't for you. This is for all we do here is not for you and me. It's for Jesus. All we do, everything we do. And I'm getting ahead of myself. The woman said, Scripture says that the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could it possibly be? She's still in that, could it be? Could this be what I've been looking for all my life? You showed up here today and maybe been here 100 times and today you realize that could this actually be? Not this, but finding that relationship. It's that moment when we hit a song note and you go, and everything in your body begins to sizzle inside and you don't know what it is, let it be the Spirit of God welling up in you to move out of you and let it happen without fear. Stop being afraid. The devil wants to keep you jailed up and locked up in all the things that you're in, like me. Keep reminding me of my stuff. Let me tell you, come and see how Jesus, what is your come and see story? What is your come and see story? Come and see Jesus, how he healed me from addiction. Come and see how Jesus saved my spouse from their former life, and now they're walking with me in Christ. Come and see how Jesus gave me peace in the middle of my disease, and he healed me before I ever knew it was coming. Come on, y'all. That's better than your reacting. It's not about these tears or this emotion, y'all. This is real. This is real. And it's not about those. Come and see what Jesus has done in my life. And one way you do that is number next is you step up to serve. You step up to serve. You step up. You say, well, my spouse don't even come to church. I could have people stand up, and I'm not going to, in this church who serve all the time, some exponentially big time, and their spouse don't even yet believe necessarily. I mean, Whatever, you just tell me whatever the excuse is, and I'll give you an answer to it, because I've made them all. You still, I'm too young. Now, it's, am I even young enough anymore to do this? On and on, man. On and on. Come and see. Step up to serve. The time is here for us. The ultimate goal for us at Discovery Church, and we hope if you want to come and be a part of it, is to, and listen, if every church is not saying this in some form, let me just go ahead and get that out of the way. We're not better than anybody else. We're just different. We're going to affect people that the church down the street won't, and they're going to affect people that we won't. We're just in the big old C church trying to serve people. It's all we're trying to do. And so if you come here all mad at one, it'll be a while before you'll get something over here to be mad about and want to leave to go somewhere else to be mad about something over here, and you'll find something over here. You know why? Because every building you walk in, I hope, has people in it. Just is. Not about the building anyway, is it? Come on, y'all. We're here to find the not yet believer. Do you notice how we say that? The not yet believer. That means we anticipate that everybody we touch can know Jesus. Everybody, including the person that you don't think can anymore. They can be. We're here for the hurting, those who, we call it church hurt. I don't even like that phrase, to be honest with you, because church is people, and people will hurt you, and sometimes it's just going to happen. But we're here for people that are hurting. If you're hurting and you've been hurt or whatever, we want to love you. We just want to be very upfront with you that we're just people too. They don't always do it exactly. And then we're looking for those who are already believers, strong, wanting to serve Jesus and just trying to find a place that they can do that with life, not judgment and not persecution and not, well, you come on, we just want you to serve. The field is ripe. And what I don't need to do is to allow my to-do list today to get in the way of seeing the people that are streaming toward me. I don't need to let my job or my school or my parents or my children or any, you just fill in the blank with whatever, in my spouse, my church family. I don't need to let anybody get me in the way of allowing me to be able to see what the Holy Spirit is trying to guide me to if I'm listening. Oh, there's another whole sermon, right? Holy Spirit talks to you. I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm listening. And from time to time, he does. Like, hey, stop. Or let's go over there. Or see that person? They need help. And on, we just have to have our ears wide open. And I have to move on his leading. Those of you who have been around here for a little while, you know we're growing, right? We're growing. There's 223 chairs in this room. So that gives you an idea. Bill already knows how many is here. He'll tell me in a little while. And we'll know how many people. We keep up with our numbers and kind of thing. There's a whole book of the Bible called Numbers, so we like doing that. And so, I mean, you know, we just talk about the numbers. And we're growing. We're getting so big in this room that oftentimes the people who come in later, I hope you didn't experience this today, and John and his team are trying to do their best as the flow team to show people, hey, here's a seat and there's a seat. But we are growing, and as we grow, we're going to have to step up and serve. Going to have to step up and serve. This service we're having for Christmas when we go to two services, that's not a practice run. We're not going to practice this. We're just going to do it. We wanted to do it for that day because there's a lot of people who will come to church that day that don't normally come. And we want to honor that and give them plenty of room to come in and worship. Okay? So that's the reason, the why behind that. Starting in March next year, we're going to go to two services every Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. We need some room. And we're not ready to move out of here yet. But we're ready to move while in here yet, all right? Some of y'all just got squirmy. You're like, oh, my goodness, what does that mean? I'm going to have to move. I'm going to have to do something different. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And every team needs more people than we have in it right now serving. I get a lot of head nods. I figured I might get a couple of amens out of some team leads up in there. We have an impeccable team. Of our 160-some-odd partners in our church, we have about 80% of those people on a team somehow. You tell me any church that's doing that. I'll brag on you right now. Y'all are the best on the planet at that right now. But here's the thing. When we go to two services, we're going to get tired if we keep doing the same thing. Why am I saying this? This whole sermon about two services is not just about that. What about small group leaders? We doubled our number in small group. I don't know if we doubled or not. We had more this last time than we did the time before. We need more men to stand up and say, hey, you know what? I want to lead a small group. I want to lead a small group. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, fine. I didn't know how to do it before I did it. Well, let's get them with somebody and do it together. And then get launch you out to do your own. You can meet all kinds of places. You can do all kinds of things. But here's the thing. I want to talk about that. I want to get ahead. We need evangelists in our church. We need evangelists. If you're an evangelist, just say amen. Every Christian should have said amen right there. That was a trick. Okay, that was a trick. That was a trick. The word evangelism just simply means, it comes from the Greek word evangelion, which means good news. And it's about telling the good news. You thought evangelist by somebody standing up here like I am, right? I'm an evangelist, yes, but I'm a pastor first. So, well, I don't even understand what all that means. Well, good, you're in the right place. We can help you with that. We want to just teach. We're starting this next year in February-ish, first or the middle of February. Gary and Therese, we're going to designate an entire night where nothing happens in our building so that they can come over here and start what they're calling New Life Recovery Ministry. And they're going to be serving the people in our community and everybody in this room. Maybe you're sitting in this room stoned. I don't know. If you hear Craig Groeschel's story, the first time he came to Jesus, he was stoned out of his gourd. He said, in fact, him and his friend that night went out and got drunk to celebrate coming to Jesus. I just think that's a hilarious story. I think that's funny. But I'm going to tell you something that's not funny, and that is addiction. And we have people wrapped up in it. And we want to help you, not just drugs and alcohol, but porn, food, whatever it is you're addicted to. They want to help you with that. They've got a full curriculum ready, and we're going to designate a night in this building where they are here. You know why? Because we love the people that are struggling so much that we will make it anonymous for them to walk in this building, and nobody has to be here. That's how important this is, y'all. This is serving people. Why? Because they have a story to tell, and they have their own come and see story, what happened to me. And we want to show that to you. Our kids' ministry is busting at the seams. We just got through remodeling the whole thing. Kudos to that whole team. And putting all that in, it's great. What happened? Well, we got so many kids. I don't even drink the water around here. There's been so many people pregnant lately. It's crazy. If you can't bring them in, have them. That's what we got. That's our motto. Maybe that's another know you motto. I don't know. I'm out of that business, praise Jesus. But I'm just saying, and they've created this segment called, is it Miracle Makers, right? It's Miracle Makers. And in Miracle Makers, they're actually serving students and kids. I get emotional about this because I've never been in a church that gave special needs kids, like autism and those things, actual attention other than hush and be quiet. We've got a little room back here. It's a sensory room now. So when that happens, those children can be taken to a safe place to deal with whatever they have to deal with. That's worth clapping about, y'all. And this isn't about, like I said, this is just about giving you and telling you there are opportunities. And some of you in this room are gifted to work with special needs kids, and we don't even know it yet. And when that happens, and that starts, it's already happening. You talk to Sam about it. Be easy with Sam. She had gallbladder surgery 2 days ago, but she's here today, praise the Lord. I actually was shocked to see her here. Listen, y'all listen to this sentence. All that stuff. You will never be fully satisfied until you're serving in a place that gives you God's purpose and fulfillment in your life. And it doesn't have to be in this building. If you can't settle here, talk to me. I'll help you find a place where you can. We just want you in the kingdom, period. It's not about us. It's about what's happening in the kingdom. Let's be life-giving and loving toward everybody that is around us. And since all that's true, then we cannot. Don't lose sight of the mission. Don't lose sight of the mission. Listen, we have, what's our motto? What's our mission, everybody? We're here for what? Empty seat. The empty seat. You see around. There's a few of them around today. We're here for the empty seat. That is a symbolism for the people who aren't here yet. And here's the thing about the empty seat. It's the same as the disciples standing on that hill and that throng of people coming out toward him, and they didn't even see them. They're worried about Jesus being hungry, which is a good thing. And sometimes we worry about good things amidst the great things. And Jesus says, wait a minute, you don't need to think about that right now. Look at these people coming this way. And that's what we're trying to get us to do. In order to fill an empty seat, it has to be emptied out. And that's why we're doing two services. That's the very reason we're doing it, is to make more room for more people who don't know Jesus to find him. And you say, well, I thought you said it wasn't about the building. It's not, but this is a great launch point, right? There's even a church, I think, in Muscle Shoals called Launch Point. Launch Point Church, a friend of mine, Mike Noble, started that. And for the same reason, they just wanted, there had to be more. And that's what they do. Is they're serving the community in that way. But you got to count the cost to do that. This isn't about position. We don't teach around here hierarchy leadership. You know why? Because leadership is not about position. I'm not a leader because I'm the pastor. I'm a leader because God made me one. and I pastor because that's my purpose. This isn't about position. Maxwell says if it's about your position, that's a weak place to start from in leadership. And so we want everybody to understand. How many of you are leaders in the room right now? Oh, come on, Christians. If you're a believer, raise your hand. Come on, you're a leader. I thought I taught that better. We got a whole series on that now. No, for real, we see everybody as leadership at some level. You're leading somebody somewhere. And we've heard that preached a lot in our life, but here we take it very seriously. Nobody goes into a battle without first considering the cost. Nobody builds a building without considering the cost, because if you don't, you will be laughed at later. Consider the cost for following Jesus, because here's the thing. Coming to Jesus is not about this. Well, if I do this, then the Lord's going to give me that. Too many people come into the church bargaining with God. Well, if you'll give me this, I'll do that. I've caught myself in this whole journey I'm on. I say, Lord, if you'll just heal me, I'll give it back to you tenfold. And I will do everything that I can to do that. But that's not a bargaining chip. That's a promise. We have to understand that what we're doing right now, it's not about, well, if I serve here, what's the perks for me? What's in it for me? That's just the wrong question to ask. It's what can I do to come into this community and not just fill a role, but be an ambassador for Christ. Come on, worship team. You guys come on up here with me. It's not just filling a role. You're an ambassador for the mighty Lord Jesus. You are his hands and feet. You are his plan A. There is no plan B or C. You are the plan. Jesus gave his life for us, and it is up to us to take that to the world. And so as you do, fully committed, you will not, I promise you, have to look very far for lost people. Did y'all hear that? You don't have to look far. In fact, some of you already know them. I've challenged with you this over and over and over again. There's somebody in your phone list that you need to text today and say, hey, can we meet this week or talk or whatever? I got some good news I need to share with you. Just leave it there. Everybody wants their good news. It's not a trick. It's a truth. And have it ready when you tell them what's your come and see story. Look what Jesus has done for me. Because there's people all around us looking for love and acceptance. They're looking for identity and peace. They're looking for purpose. Most of all, most people are just looking for some hope. You don't watch the news for 5 minutes and you know it's all about hope. It's all about hope. And none of those people are the hope. In fact, there's no people here that are the hope. There's no people anywhere you go that are the hope. We're the mess. And the hope just put us to work to tell other people about him. Isn't that good? Thank you, Spirit, for that. He's resorted to us. You are the hands and feet of me. And there's no task too small. It's my favorite part of the whole sermon. I'm almost done. You see, there's no servant too small. There's not a gesture too small. Because Jesus said in his economy, the greatest would be the least. The first would be last. Jesus took the economy of me first and look at me in pride, and he just flipped it on its head, and he said, it's not about you. And the sooner I can figure out that it's not about Keith, in every aspect of my life where I find myself out of kilter in my thinking, it's always mostly about me. What am I not getting that I'm supposed to get? What am I not doing that I'm supposed to? It's always about I, me, and it's not about that. You see, I think some of you guys on the hospitality team, you see yourself as handing out worship guides. I know you're better than this because just go with me on a sermon. We said, well, that's not me. I don't do that. I hope you don't. I hope you see yourself as an evangelist inviting someone into a room where they might experience something to catch their eye so that they'll follow Jesus. You're an evangelist. You're not a small group leader. You're a pastor. That's the way we teach you when you come in. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. I don't lead out. No, you pastoring somebody. Lynn Anderson said, everybody has a shepherding circle. You're influencing somebody around you right now, in this moment. You don't just see yourself as playing an instrument, but you see yourself completing, as Micah tells us all the time on the worship team, we're just completing the circle that's in the room that everybody's on the worship. We're all serving and worshiping the Lord. We just get the honor and the absolute privilege to be able to use what God has given us to be able to extol Him and lift His holy name on high. And I just love it when y'all are all in the room doing it with us. That's what we want to be able to do. We don't even want to be in the way at all. You don't see yourself as inviting someone to church. You see yourself as inviting someone to a space where they can turn their life from the ho-hum of serving this world to the excitement of serving an eternal God. And one day, they're going to look back at you at Lion in heaven. They're going to be walking into the gates with you. Man, I'm so glad you took me to church that day. One of the joys of my life is sometimes, it hadn't happened in a long time because I'm getting old, but somebody will send me a private Facebook message. It was a kid in my youth group 30 years ago. And they'll say something like this: man, I remember when you brought a guitar into the lock-in. Y'all remember lock-ins? Those are of the devil. We quit having them. But we used to have them all the time. And I took this little Washburn electric guitar in there one time, and I just bought $150 for the guitar and the amp. So I took it with me to the youth group, and I just set it over in the corner. And this young man, some of you are going to know this name when I call his name out. I'm going to call his name. He wasn't me. I'm going to do it right back at him. This young man, we called him John. His name was John David. John David showed up at the lock-in that night, and he grabbed that guitar, and I showed him G, C, and D, and he started playing guitar. He wound up being a worship leader in a Methodist church over there, and he came over here, and he's worship leader at Friendship for a long time. And now he's the pastor of Cambridge, which is on the other side of town over here. And he's serving God in the kingdom. Flawed as he is, he's messed up as all get out, but he loves Jesus. And I think about that one little gesture. I didn't have a clue what was going to happen in that room with that little guitar that night. I don't know if they'd destroy it or not. They're teenagers, right? Come on, y'all. You have no idea what they're going to do. But God took that and used that in his life. And he said, that's what started me down the road to playing music. And I think about that. I'm not tooting my own horn there. That's God's horn being tooted. I just bought a guitar to a lock-in. Be his instrument. Be his instrument. Stop putting yourself down. You say, well, I'm on a walker, and I can't hardly get around. It's hard for me to even get through the door sometime, and I'm short, and I can't reach the key to unlock the cabinet in the room where the hole punch is, and I don't know how to run a cutter, and I used to be a secretary, and she's laughing down here. Y'all know who I'm talking about, Sandra. It's just part of what I do, why I do what I do. Ken came to me one day and he said, I want to help you out. What can I do? And I said, why don't you do the worship guides? And he started doing them, and he built a team around that just organically out of that. Miss Sandra came to our church looking for a place to serve. She's not going to be on the basketball team because she's short. But she does what she does with her heart, with power, in the name of Jesus. And she realizes if somebody gets those notes and makes a note and fixes themselves focused on Jesus, and that's a whole team of those people. I just picked her out of that team. It's nothing small. Nothing small. Speaking of which, before y'all stand up, would our prayer team, would you guys come on forward? I want people to be able to see you before we get started with this. We're going to dismiss the prayer. Some of you came in this building today and you thought, I'm going to church today. But something has happened within this moment that has motivated you to want to serve greater and be more of the kingdom. It's not about what I said or how I said it, but maybe it's what Jesus said to his disciples. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is the people brought to eternal life. That's the point. People brought to eternal life, and what joy awaits awaits the planter and the harvester alike. I love that. It's everybody together doing what we do. Praise Jesus. Will you stand with me? You can make your way to a prayer team warrior. These people are here for you. If you're new with us, it's okay. Just step out. Maybe you need to step out as a couple. Maybe you need to grab somebody and walk with you because you're scared. But you got to go somewhere and you got to tell somebody something. Hey, this is on my heart. I need to share this. I need to get this off my chest. That's called confession. Just say it out loud and let them pray over you and let the Holy Spirit anoint you with forgiveness and hope and excitement. And you don't have to walk out of here the same as you came in. I hope you won't. I hope none of us do. I don't want to walk out of here the same as I walked in today. What a morning this has been for me. So would you join us? Would you join us? Open your heart, and all you need to do is ask this question. Where do I need to be, and how can you help me get myself there? If you don't know who to ask, you know what I look like now, if you're new with us, but just find me. I'll show you how. We'd love that opportunity. Love that opportunity. If you're in the room and don't know who Jesus is, right now is the moment you could actually say to him for the first time, I want you to be Lord. We'll do whatever we need to do. If baptism is your next step, we can take care of that. Whatever we need to take care of today, we want to be able to do that. Let God use his instruments to bless you if that's where you are. It's okay to be the person that's not there yet. Right? I'm not there yet in a lot of ways, but it's okay to be that person. Say, hey, I'm not there yet, but I need to know. How do I need to get there? We want to help you do that. Now's the time. You're welcome to pray. We do not. We just want you to be open about that, okay? Maybe somebody right next to you. If you're scared to step out, it's okay. See me afterwards, whatever. But just make a move of some kind today. Not for Keith, not for the church, not for the music, but for what God's going to do in your life. Can we say praise Jesus together? Amen. Amen. You come as we worship.
Like a rushing wind, Jesus breathe within. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Mighty storm, stir within.
Lord, that's a prayer. That's a prayer of surrender before you, Father. We want to know you more. We want it to all be about you, Father. We don't want to just know about you. We want to know you. We want to know who you are. We want to be personal, close, intimate. You've called us children, so we can be. Thank you, Father. We can just walk right into your throne room without fear. Not only without fear, but we can walk before you boldly because you've said, I will lift your head up. I'm lifting you up. Thank you, Father. As much as I deserve to be put down, you lift me up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray over this audience. You're the audience. Let's pray over this congregation, Lord, these people that have come together today, Lord, all of us. Right now, Father, we just stand, or some have to sit. We're just before you right now with open hands, with open hearts, Lord, completely open and ready to serve you. Lord, put us where you want us to be this very day. God, give me an opportunity to speak to someone about you and help me to see it and to know it and to take my come and see story and share it, to love. God, give me the boldness and the ability and the humility and the patience and the kindness and just the opportunity and the moment to be able to share so that someone will have an opportunity today. That even in the midst of the buckle of the Bible Belt, Father, we know there are people that do not know who you are. And Father, as we want to know you, I know they want to, even though they don't even know it yet. So God, help us to be the kind of people who would not attract people to us, but attract people to you. Help us to show what you've done in our life so that we can share it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say a good amen right there. Amen. Thank you.